Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. USDA has shut off all access to its statistical reports due to the federal government shutdown, leaving traders and food producers in the dark about most activities in the world's largest farm exporter. Analysts say if the shutdown lasts more than 2 or 3 days, USDA may be forced to delay its monthly crop estimates due on October 11th. The department's public face, the USDA.gov website, has gone dark and has an informational page saying that after government funding is restored, the website will return. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission is also severely curtailing its operations. CFTC says that staffers will offer a bare minimum level of oversight and surveillance of the futures markets and clearing operations. Farm Services Agency has closed all its offices as well, including county offices, except for emergency and natural disaster response. Meanwhile, private exporters this morning reported to USDA export sales of 113,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year, which began on September the 1st. Campbell Soup Company is selling its European Simple Meals business to private equity firm CVC Capital Partners for $542 million. Campbell today says that it plans to use the sales proceeds to pay down debt and for other general corporate purposes. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, but before the government shutdown, NASS reported its latest crop progress report for the week ending September 29th. The numbers look like this. Corn rated mature 63% versus 40% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 70%. Corn harvested 12% versus 7% last week, and the five-year average of 23%. Soybeans dropping leaves 67% versus 47% last week, and the five-year average of 74%. Soybeans harvested 11% versus 3% last week, and the five-year average of 20%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,008, is up 34 points. The NASDAQ is 3225. It's up almost 17. The S&P 500 is 1681, and it is up 7 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The U.S. Midwest weather today is still quite similar to that of yesterday. Still looks as though a big part of the region is going to encounter a good chance for rain, and the precipitation will begin in some locations as early as tomorrow. We'll look for the precipitation to increase as we get into the latter part of this week, and the storm system that's expected to be responsible for all the precipitation is going to hang on into the northern parts of the region and through the weekend, and the Great Lakes region will probably still be seeing rain as we move into Monday. So that's quite an extended period of time for precipitation to be impacting the region. And, of course, the end result is going to be delays in summer crop harvest progress as well as harvesting. Showers will begin as early as tomorrow and Thursday across the lower parts of the Midwest. This will be concentrated mostly on the region from Missouri into Illinois, but portions of Indiana and eventually Michigan will be involved. The precipitation will run anywhere from a tenth of an inch to 0.5 inch. There may be some local totals getting upwards to 0.75 inch. Areas to the west and to the east of this will probably stay dry, meaning Ohio and portions of Kansas and Missouri. In the meantime, the first of two disturbances will move across the upper portions of the Midwest, and this system will likely occur mostly on Thursday into Friday, but a few showers may occur already tomorrow in a few locations. The precipitation will likely run from South Dakota, actually the Dakotas in general, over to Michigan, and we'll see moisture totals running just a few hundredths of an inch upwards to maybe 4 or 5 tenths of an inch in general. Something a little bit greater, though, will occur upwards to 3/4 of an inch will be possible. Now, that particular disturbance will be followed by the main storm center, which is likely to begin in Wyoming and portions of Colorado and western Nebraska as we get into the latter part of this week. And as Thursday moves into Friday, we'll likely see the storm system become much better defined across the western Corn Belt, and it will move from South Dakota and Nebraska into Michigan as we move forward through the weekend and into Monday. Storm system promises to produce quite a bit of rain, and totals for the next 7 days will run anywhere from 1 to 3 inches across a big part of the upper Midwest, and we'll likely see the lower parts of the Midwest pick up on some additional precipitation as a cool front cuts through the region. That cool front is expected to evolve as we move forward into Friday and Saturday in the western Corn Belt, and probably Saturday and Sunday in the east. Rain totals will run 1/10 to 5/10, some local 3/4 inch amounts will occur in the lower parts of the Midwest. So as you can see, conditions across the Midwest are going to deteriorate as we move forward through this week. And on top of that, we're going to see some cold air flowing southward into the plains. Frost and freezes will become common over the course of the Friday through Sunday period, with Saturday morning likely to be coldest. Saturday morning will generate low temperatures in the 20s and 30s across areas from Montana and western North Dakota southward into Colorado, and maybe a few areas in northwesternmost Kansas. Areas just immediately to the east of that, from eastern North Dakota into northwestern Kansas, will have a chance for frost and some light freezes both Saturday and Sunday mornings. The western U.S. Corn Belt is not expected to get involved with much of the frost and freeze potential. But, however, with that said, I think on Sunday morning we will have a risk of some frost occurring across areas from Nebraska and portions of western Iowa up into Minnesota. I don't think there's going to be any significant freezes occurring, but we will see temperatures getting fairly cool across the area. Now, if for some reason we get a stronger surface high pressure center to develop over this area, a more meaningful freeze event may occur. In the meantime, we'll look for temperatures to cool down from the 70s and 80s down eventually into 50s and 60s as we finish out the weekend and early part of next week. And low temperatures at night in the eastern Midwest will not get much cooler than the 40s with the colder weather this weekend. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red December wheat is 744.5, and it is up 5. March, 743.5, up 3.25. Soft December, 679.25, up 3/4. March, 688, up 1. December corn, 438.5, down 3. July, 466, down 3. November soybeans, 1268.75, down 14. July, 1233.5, down 8.25. October soybean meal, 404.80, down 5.10. October soybean oil, 4070, down 13. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
This brings us back to the good old days of the 30s and 40s when all we talked about was yield, and we didn't have a bunch of numbers to look at.
Well, it depends on how long they're out, but and the Chicago and the Board of Trade and all the people involved are going to be looking at yield numbers now. And in general, yield numbers are very good across everywhere. And that's helping push things, plus USDA's yesterday report that was bigger than expected on the stocks. Was that yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. Helped push things lower.
Well, we do have to say that soybeans harvested 11%, corn harvested 12%, a long way to go. And the bulls are still holding out hope that the later corn in Iowa and Minnesota won't be there.
And the people that we have harvesting in those states that we know are pleasantly surprised with their yields.
So there you have it. And it is surprising how quickly the market turns. About 3 weeks ago, we were looking at soybeans in the November contract at 1410 and wondering how high is up. Now we're going to be wondering how low is down.
Yeah, and during that $2 to $3 move up, corn didn't move that much. And everybody at that time was saying, well, we could easily go right back to 12 if we have good weather and good yields. And that's what we're having right now.
So corn has made new lows for its move. And really, if you look at the charts, I suppose you could make a case technically for 4.25.
422 to 425 is the spot now, and the next spot after that's about 410.
And in the beans, we were talking with Kurt yesterday, and we were thinking, well, maybe 1286 would hold. It did not hold, and then we talked about 1257, but we're not that far away from 1257 already.
We hit 64 this morning. We're at 68 right now. We could hit it today real easily. I mean, yesterday we were down 37. Right now we're down 14, and we could easily take that out today or tomorrow.
Well, the Bears certainly are in charge at the moment. Thanks, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. December corn, 438 and three quarters, down 2 3/4, now 3. July, 466, down 3. November soybeans, 1269, down 13 3/4. July, 1234, down 7 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.